Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of full transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away, and what follows. Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Job 34, the verses 1 through 23. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Job 34, the first 23 verses. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words, as the mouth tasteth meat. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job has said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinketh up scorning like water, which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity, and walketh with wicked men? For he has said, It profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, and neither will the Almighty pervert judgment, who hath given him a charge over the earth, or who hath disposed the whole world. If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. If now thou wast understanding, hear this, hearken to the voice of my words. Shall even he that hateth right govern? And wilt thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, Thou art wicked, and to princes, Ye are ungodly? How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they all are the work of his hands. In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy great mercy once more on this Lord's day to gather us together within the walls of thy house of prayer. And then we humbly beg of thee, may it be a house of prayer indeed. May there have come up souls with a sigh and with a cry. May there sit and stand souls in this very moment with a need in their heart. May it please thee to be a prayer giving, a prayer hearing, and a prayer answering God. May it also be a house of thanksgiving. May it please thee by the immediate working of thy Holy Spirit to grant broken and humble hearts, unworthy ones, under the goodness and under the mercies of the Lord. But, ah, Lord, may it in this evening hour also be a house of conversions, that in this hour that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, be placed in their guilt, be placed in their missing, and added to the list of sires. But may it also be a house of instruction, ah, Lord. The unconverted need to be instructed, needs to be sanctified, and not only to hear with their ears, but to be given to understand with their hearts. But not only the unconverted, thou as a people upon the earth, that is so ignorant in heavenly ways, and that must ask with the solemnest, Lord, shew us thy way, and teach us thy paths. May it also be a house of comfort for those comfortless ones that can be so tossed to and fro with tempest concerning the way of providence and concerning the way of grace. May it also be a house of lifting up, a house of encouragement, perhaps a few smoke and flaxes. Oh, there can be those fears that it shall all come to naught. A few broken reeds that are so bowed down, as that woman in the Bible that could in no wise straighten herself out. But may it please thee to cause the waters of consolation to flow, blow with the wind of the Spirit, and then those smoke and flaxes, then the smoke, shall become a clear and a beautiful flame. Lord, grant tokens of thy favor. Dwell richly amongst us. Hold thyself not still, but be a wonder-doing God. And, our Lord, then we have to confess that our sins are great and manifold. Thou art so just in all thy ways, And to that end, may it please thee to look down upon us as a congregation of poor sinners in the Son of thine eternal love. O wilt thou glorify thy great and worthy name amongst us. O Lord, bless the manifold means of grace. Remember and help the consistory who is sufficient unto these things. May our eyes be upon thee. May there be many errands in hers. May the labors be blessed. Bless the means of grace in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end, that they may instruct their dear children in the aforesaid doctrine, accompanied with a godly example and with unceasing prayer at the throne of grace. But Lord, when the school hopes to commence in 2 days, wilt thou grant thy divine blessing? Then the needs are manifold. We humbly ask thee for traveling mercies, mile after mile, over the unsafe roads. Remember the school board in their weighty and responsible task. Wilt thou grant thy help to the administration, to the principals? We commend unto thee all the teachers with their helpers. May they be often found on their knees, asking thee for thy help from day to day. When there are mountains, may they not all become overly discouraged. When thou helpest, wilt thou keep from pride? And Lord, thou knowest the purpose of our Christian school, that our children may be taught out of the scriptures the divine truths, and that it may be blessed by thee, that thou may grant unto our children, unto our youth, a heart that may fear thee, and that may love thee, and that may hate sin, and that need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, our Lord. May it be a special year, may it please thee, in the latter days of the earth, where the days are short, to gladden us with thy divine deeds, and that many sons and daughters may be born in Zion. May there be oftentimes, when the school is in session, beggars at the throne of grace. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, our mission field. Wilt thou be mindful of Bible translators, those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth, and bless also thy word that may be sent into the prisons. Then by renewal, we remember the many temporal needs. May it please thee to provide daily bread for each of our family circles. May we be given to need thee much in that respect. And may there be those times that thy special hand may be noticed. And when thou prosperest us, that we forget thee not. Then by renewal we commend unto thee, though all the mother in the hospital already such a long time, remember her together with her husband, above all save her never dying soul. And Lord, remember the younger mother with the unborn, together with her husband and little family. May it please thee to watch over them all, and grant them a special place at thy footstool. Remember all the sick, all the afflicted, those that have sick and ailing relatives. The circumstances are known unto thee. We commend unto thee the difficulties of the body and the weakness of the mind. Remember the crosses and all the burdens. Remember all our elderly ones in the evening of their life, all in the care home with those that may care for them, those that are bound to their home, and those that may still come up to thy house. Remember with the increase of the infirmities. Above all, may it please thee to be mindful of their never-dying soul. Lord, wilt thou remember all the mourning ones in their deep grief, oftentimes when they are overwhelmed. May they be given to bow their knees and ask for thy help, for strength, and for courage for the day. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. We commend unto thee the member who has been placed under Christian discipline. Grant that place of repentance while it can yet, and while it may yet. Remember our poor country. Remember all in high authority. Remember also the needs of the upcoming election, when thou granteth it, O Lord. We have become as a Sodom and a Gomorrah. May we be given to see the signs of the times. And may there be a hastening for our life's sake, and that we may find a place of shelter under the wings of Emmanuel. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this evening hour. May it please thee to be a surprising God. Thou knowest that each time is a new time. Wilt thou anoint with fresh oil from above, grant a little freedom, a little liberty, so many never-dying souls before us. May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people, as if it could be the last service, Lord, bind the reality and seriousness of life upon all our hearts. Wilt thou remember all those that could not come up because of lawful reasons? Grant them a Sabbath day blessing. But wilt thou remember all those that have come up? May it be a service that we could never remember, Lord. Then it would be good in thy house. Graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, what we forget. Forget thou it not. Wilt thou bind the devil? And then by renewal we have to acknowledge that we have nothing to plead upon, but, O Lord, wilt thou be mindful of thy promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 244, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. in thy wrath our spirits languish, as sinful neath thy searching eye. All our days are passed in anguish, in thy wrath we pine and die. And what follows? A Psalter 244, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, and by renewal for Lord's Day number 4, the questions 9, 10, and 11. Question 9, doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? Answer, not at all. For God made man capable of performing it, but man, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, and deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Question 10. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, by no means, but is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in his just judgment temporally and eternally, as he had declared, accursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Question 11, is not God then also merciful? Answer, God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, his justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Lord's Day number 4 speaks of 3 questions concerning God's justice in the punishment of sin. In the first place, whether God deals unjustly with mankind. In the second place, whether God will not let sin go unpunished. And in the third place, whether God's mercy annuls his justice. Beloved congregation, and then on the last Lord's Day, then we have considered those 2 questions concerning our original sin, that the sin committed by Adam, our covenant head Adam, that it is imputed unto us. And then we have spoken of that covenant relationship. Then in the second place, then we have considered whether God is just in requiring from us what we cannot perform. And then we have heard that the Lord has created us perfectly. He has enabled Adam and Eve to keep that covenant, but through the willful disobedience and the instigation of the devil, we have lost those divine gifts. Concerning that covenant of works, is that covenant of works not annulled? Or does that covenant of works still have a bearing in our life? Then concerning the justification of a sinner, then that covenant of works is annulled, because I read in Romans 3 verse 20, that by the works of the law, no flesh can be justified. We have fallen so deeply. When the Lord has made that covenant of works, where the Lord has made a way that Adam and Eve and all his posterity would receive eternal life, then we have broken that covenant. And now after that covenant of works is broken, then man is so bound up in that covenant, that fallen man with those fig leaves as an Adam and Eve have put on, then we are trying to justify ourselves. But now concerning that demand, and now the demand of that covenant of works, that was a perfect and a complete obedience to the law of God in all aspects, which they were to show by not eating of that forbidden fruit. Then we must not think that after Adam has broken that covenant, that the Lord has lessened that demand, that he has changed this law. No, that law has remained the same, and to that end, then the Lord requires of you and me a perfect obedience to the law of God. And then, boys and girls, then you can remember how we have closed the sermon last Sunday evening. That was with the question 10, and the first part of that answer. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, by no means, but is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in his just judgment, temporally and eternally. And how has it now been with that question and answer congregation? How has it now been in the past week concerning that solemn answer? That a holy, a majestic, a righteous God, that he will and that he must punish each of our sins, temporally and eternally. When you despise God's word, when you walk with and after the world, when you have become bold in sin, then perhaps I do not have to ask you how you live with that question and answer, because when we so willingly and so freely multiply our sins before a just and an all-knowing God, that tells us that we are not so concerned with our sin, that we do not think so much of that punishment here in the time and of that eternal punishment. There can also be another matter. It can be, maybe a few young friends, maybe some fathers and mothers, that is now your case, that you have become so discouraged, maybe careless. To make it simple, also for our children, if we now think of a father and mother with a family that have been struggling many years to pay their debt, a great debt with a creditor, for many years maybe, they have lived very frugal, maybe father and mother have deprived themselves of many good things, that their children may be fed, that they may be clothed to save a dollar here and there. But due to circumstances, maybe mismanagement, maybe the foolishness, maybe depressed prices, that debt is only becoming greater, that they are given to see no matter what they do, that debt has become so great that it can never be paid off. And then there can come a time that such a father and mother, that they become so discouraged, that they even become careless, that they do not watch how they spend their money, because it is a hopeless case anyway. Maybe a young friend in my midst, fathers and mothers, maybe elderly ones, that maybe say, that is now my case. Maybe a few young friends that in your younger years, faithful in reading the Bible every night before you went to bed, that you have prayed so often for a new heart, but that you are still the same, yea, that you find that your heart is only becoming harder, and that you have come to the conclusion it is no purpose. I shall never be saved anyway. There is only one place for me at the end of my life, and that is in hell. And that you have become careless, even rebellious, and that you think it makes no difference anyway, that you have come to the conclusion that you shall never be saved, and then that doctrine of election. But let me then ask you, young and old, if there was now no election, then it would be hopeless for each and every one of you. And now when you say that portion of God's people, that is not for you, let me ask you, where do you find that? In the Word of God. Because I read in the Scriptures that the Lord is still gathering a church, that the Lord, that He has promised to bless the means of grace. Then I read in Revelation 6, verse 2, that the rider on the white horse, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is going forth to conquer and to conquer. And the King has written in His Word that we are called to seek Him. The Lord has even said in His Word, those that seek Him with all their hearts, that they shall find Him. Oh, the devil loves it in the midst of a church to have a discouraged and a dissatisfied people, especially among the youth, then they are a very easy prey for the temptations of the world. And now when we have mentioned that case of a father and mother, then it is true, then the creditor can come and take everything they have, but they may still live. And for a father and mother, when they are taken out of this life, then that demand to pay back, that comes to an end. But for us congregation, when we are taken out of this life, then our guilt, that is not annulled, because we are born for a never-ending eternity. The Lord punishes here in the time if we are unconverted when we die. It shall be an eternal punishment, congregation. Let me ask you, how have you lived with that question, whether God will suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Have you labored with that rebellion? Have you labored with that disobedience? Have you spent time, boys and girls, thinking of the justice of God that He requires of us, a perfect obedience? Have we thought this past week of the justice of God, that His justice requires that the Lord punishes each and every one of our sins, this congregation? Let us never think that it makes no difference how we live. The Lord is such a perfect judge, justice. He shall never punish us for the sins which we do not commit. Have there been souls that have cried unto the Lord? Have there been souls in this past week that have labored with their sins? Because when the Lord works with His Holy Spirit, then we learn that our sins cause that separation, a breach that is so wide that can never be bridged over. And now the Lord has a people that learns to love the Lord in all His attributes, also His holiness, that separates between the precious and the vile. And now the justice of God, the punishment that flows from His holiness, that He shall give to each and every one their due reward. Then it is written, according to God's word, but is terribly displeased. Ah, that is the sorrow for an uncovered sinner, that the Lord is displeased. I hope, boys and girls, in an outward way, young people, that it may also be so in your life. When you are given to transgress, and you see that you have grieved your father and your mother, that is the worst thing. If you have transgressed during the day, and you realize that father and mother does not say so much because of what you have done, if it is right, and if you love your parents, that is much worse than if they send you to bed. And now when the Lord works, then the soul learns that the Lord is terribly displeased, that the Lord is so holy and so just, that He can have no communion with sin and with a sinner. And yet the Lord has a people that cannot miss the Lord in congregation. When that is experienced, then it shall be in our life. Oh, it is true. A child of God, when the temptations come, then many times they fall. They can greatly fall. But it shall be experienced what I read in Lord's Day number 33 of the two parts of conversion, that sincere sorrow over our sin, and a hating and a fleeing from the same. In his just judgment, when we think of thy judgment in the book of Job, then those three friends in Job, and also afterwards, as we have read out of Job 34, then those men, they have spoken much of the justice of God. The book of Job, that many times receives value, and many times is read more attentively in the midst of mourning families. And then those three friends, they have spoken much amiss. Job has also spoken unadvisably with his lips, although Job, with a clear conscience, could tell those three friends that there was no special sin, why the Lord has come with his chastisements. Oh, for many a child of God, when the Lord sends chastisements, then it is not such a question why, and then their sins, they shall rise against them. And now we have heard in chapter 34 that Elihu, that he was given to speak concerning the justice of God. Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, and neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Then Elihu has spoken and confirmed the justice of God. Temporally and eternally, as he had declared, accursed is everyone. Many times congregation, maybe also our boys and girls, when we think of being cursed, then we think at the end of the life of the unconverted, when they are sent to hell, and that they shall be cursed eternally. But in the text of Galatians 3 verse 10, then it does not say that such a one shall be cursed, but that such a one is cursed this very evening. Accursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Has that ever become our sorrow? Has that ever become our need? That we are living under a curse of a just and an almighty God. Because if there is justice without power, it can happen here in the time that a criminal, that he escapes from the prison and that he cannot be found. Also many matters that are not found out here in the time, it shall all be revealed before all the inhabitants of the earth on the great day of judgment. But now the Lord, not only justice, but also almighty power. And I read in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure that your sin shall find you out. And now the instructors, they have written that the Lord already here in the time that he punishes sin. We read In Proverbs 13, verse 13, he that despiseth the commandment, it shall be punished, and the way of transgressors is hard. That just punishment that is in many places declared in the scriptures. Think of that first world. Oh, Noah, as a preacher of righteousness, then he is called unto the first world to repent. Then he was given with the Lord's help to build an ark. Then he says, people, the Lord is coming with his judgments. The Lord has revealed that the whole world shall be revealed with a flood. But now the Lord has commanded me to build an ark with a door. And when we may enter into that door, then we shall be safe. Oh, then a Noah, then how often he has pointed to that ark. But that people, they have refused. They have not entered in. And then a time has come that the door was shut. Oh, if we refuse to hearken, if we refuse to repent, then the door of grace shall also be closed for us and then for the inhabitants of the world. Then when the heavens were opened, they have cried, but it was too late. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the Lord has rained brimstone and fire upon those cities, and they were burnt up. Concerning the justice of God, many times the Lord in his punishment, in the life of a child of God, in the way of chastisement, then there is even a connection or a relationship between the sins committed and between the Lord's just judgment, to show unto the inhabitants of the earth his perfect justice. Let us mention a few examples of Pharaoh. What has he done, boys and girls, with the little boys? He has commanded them that they were thrown into the Nile. And how, as a Pharaoh died, he was drowned in the Red Sea. In Leviticus 10, those two sons of Aaron, they have gathered strange fire, and not fire from the altar of burnt offerings, but they have fetched other fire, and they have brought it before the Lord, and the fire of the Lord has consumed them. In Judges 1, when the tribe of Judah has went to war with the remaining Canaanites, and then they have captured a king by the name of Adonai Zedek, and then they have cut off his large thumbs and his large toes, and then that king was given to confess, 70 kings have been under my table, and I have also cut off their toes and their thumbs. And so the king of Judah has done unto me. What a solemn thought, congregation. Be sure that your sin shall find you out. How often, oh young people, I hope that you may have love and respect for your parents. They have done and are doing so much for you, that you may be given to honor them, because many a child has found out when they have been disobedient to their parents, it was paid back when they have received a family. The Lord's just judgment in the punishment of sin in the life of the child of God. Then the Lord chastises them. And then there are also many times in the lives of a child of God when they have went astray, when they have had a special idol, And when the Lord has come with chastisement, that chastisement has been a special reminder of their sin. We read in Psalm 25, verse 7, that David has prayed, and David was not a bad boy, boys and girls, no. He was a shepherd boy that has feared the Lord. And then even David has prayed in Psalm 25, verse 7, "A sins of youth remember not." I read in Micah 6, verse 9, that the prophet Micah has cried, "Hear ye the rod, and who has appointed it?" And then there are times, and that is so necessary and profitable for a child of God, that they may be given to see what the Lord has written on that rod. It is true, there are times in the life of a church, the church of God, that the Lord in his sovereignty, that he afflicts and troubles them, as it was in the life of Job, where we read of that testimony in the first verse of chapter 1, that Job was perfect, that he feared God, that he eschewed evil. We shall give you a few examples out of the scriptures. Think of Jacob, who was converted in his early years. And Jacob has bought the birthright from Esau and children. You know what has happened. Jacob could not wait for the Lord. Together with his mother, they could not give it over in the hands of the Lord, trusting that the Lord would take care of everything. But they thought that the Lord needed a little help. That is not strange in the life of the people of God. Think of the father of the faithful Abraham and Sarah to bring forth that promised seed. Then a Hagar was brought into the picture. And now, boys and girls, when Jacob has heard that Isaac could also not bow under the Lord, he still want to bless Esau. When they have heard it, you know the history. And then Jacob has come with that prepared venison. And then Isaac asked who he was. And then Jacob said he wasn't Esau. Thus we would say Jacob has sinned everything away. What a terrible thing to say I am an Esau who the Lord has not loved. He has deceived this old father. Do you think, boys and girls, that Jacob was truly happy with the blessing? There was still that conscience that spoke. But Jacob, if you have now received the blessing in such a way, can you really expect the blessing of the Lord? And how the Lord has come back. Jacob has deceived his father. And what has now happened in the life of Jacob? Then on his marriage night, instead of receiving a Rachel whom he loved with all his heart, then he was deceived by Laban. And he received Leah. Cannot be different. That it has all come home. And that Jacob has thought, now the Lord is chastising me in a special, a very painful way for what I have done to my old father Isaac. And even further, when those brothers, when they have sold Joseph, and then they have brought that coat dipped in blood, that skin, and then they have deceived their father, What a lessons congregation. Oh, then the Lord through his word is speaking. Be sure that your sin shall find you out. How necessary to pray. Lord, hold up my goings, my footsteps, in thy ways that I sin not. But now punish temporally, not only temporally, but the instructors also eternally. Let us first sing. Of Psalter 420, the stanzas 1 and 6. A God shall arise and by his might put all his enemies to flight. With shame and consternation his haters, haughty though they be, shall at his august presence flee in utter desolation. And what follows, Psalter 420, the stanzas 1 and 6. Our third thought, oh, whether God's mercy and all His justice. The Lord as a people upon the earth that learns that the Lord is not only just, but that He is also merciful. When the Lord grants that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, when they may receive a place at His footstool, when they may consider all His goodness, when they may consider how long-suffering that the Lord is over such a sinner as I am, and that the Lord has not yet executed His justice, but that the Lord still comes by His holy word to call sinners to repentance. And now the question is not God then also merciful? We have told you last week that Lord's Day number 4 and Lord's Day number 5 that separates between the true work of the Lord and of the temporal believer. And to that end, the instructors we have mentioned it, God is indeed merciful. Thomas Watson, a Puritan divine, has called the mercy of the Lord's darling attribute. We read there of an Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord God merciful and gracious, a long-suffering and abundance in goodness. When we speak of the mercies of the Lord, then we may speak of the common mercies and of the special mercies merited by Christ and granted unto His people. And oh, when the Lord works, then many times it can be the question whether it indeed are those special mercies, because I read in Psalm 145, verse 10, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Congregation, is the Lord then not good and merciful unto us and our children, privileged above most of the peoples upon the earth? And we shall not only have to give an account of all of our sins, but of all of our blessings. But now the instructor has added, God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, His justice requires that sin which is committed against the Most High Majesty of God. Have we learned that, congregation? That our sins, they are committed against the highest majesty of God. And then further, be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Maybe, congregation, there have been a few souls, because it is such a solemn thing to be a human being. Maybe sometime children, young people, and older ones, that you think it would have been better that I was never born. No, it is wrong, because we are born. by the determinate counsel of God, but then to think and to really believe that the Lord cannot overlook one sin, but that He must punish each of our sins with everlasting punishment. Maybe there have been times when we see a rabbit, a pig, a cow, that we have thought, was I but only an animal? Because when an animal dies, you know that, boys and girls, animals, they have no soul. And then they come to nothing, but we have an everlasting existence. Everlasting punishment, not to scare you, congregation, but may the Lord impress that reality upon our hearts. We are traveling to eternity. When we think of that everlasting punishment, the place, where is that, boys and girls? That is in hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth. When children, you are sick and you have pain, then what a blessing it is when your parents may come, maybe pick you up, speak kindly to you, maybe give you a Tylenol that the pain may go away. But that shall never be in hell. And then to think of the company, then to be together with the devil and all the wicked ones of the world, false religions, mockers of God. Oh, have we ever come on our knees with an impression of that justice, and that we have begged the Lord, because God's people learned that is their rightful place. And now the Lord has a people, sometime are given to beg, Lord, Thou art just in all Thy ways. I am nothing but a sinner, a lump of sin, but, ach, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. And of course, not possible, but that there may be a little corner in hell where I do not have to curse Thee. The company, the pain, the remorse, then congregation, then every sermon shall come back. Also the sermon of this evening, because it is written, God is merciful. Then for a child of God, then he must be led further. Oh, that precious text out of Psalm 85, verse 10, where it is written that mercy and truth are met together, and righteousness and peace they have kissed together. Oh, then the mercy and justice that is declared on the cross of Calvary, and now that punishment, even to be 1 minute in hell, unbearable. But do you ever think, congregation, of what eternity shall be? A beginning and never, never an end. Never a gospel preacher. Never no hope. Nothing but utter despair, wishing that we would be burned up. But we are immortal, eternity, eternity. And now it is so necessary that by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we are led into Lord's Day number 4, given to bow, given to agree, young and old. Where shall we spend eternity? Should that not be the most important question? Because we are all traveling to eternity. Where shall we spend eternity? Two ways, two peoples, and two destinations. And now it may still be declared that there is a way to be delivered from that everlasting punishment by free and sovereign grace. May we be given to beg much for the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord may convince by a spirit of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that we may be found beggars oftentimes at the throne of grace, and not only be to be delivered from that punishment, but also to be restored into that blessed communion. May it please the Lord to bless His holy word also in this evening hour to that end. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please Thee to bless Thy holy word, and grant unto us and our children that one thing needful, that we may learn who Thou art, who we are, who we have become, and that we may be reconciled with Thee. To that end, Thy word may still be proclaimed, O Lord. May it please Thee to be the after-preacher. May there be many souls that in this night may be given to cry unto Thee and to receive mercy. We may begin another week. What this week holds in is unknown unto us. We humbly ask Thee, may it please Thee to watch over us and our children. Grant strength and courage for our labors. Bless the work of our hands. Keep us from sin and temptation. Make us more a begging and a praying people. Remember the congregation on the Sabbath day to come. Wilt Thou remember and help the consistory? Remember all those that may have part of the service in a special way. May their eyes be upon Thee. Wilt Thou go with us when we hope to return to our former flock, to unite a young couple in holy matrimony, and the coming week to marry our nephew, to visit our old mother when Thou spareth her, when Thou shalt add another year unto her years. May we be given to commend and meet one another at the throne of grace. Lord, bring us safely to our dwellings. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 107, the first three stanzas. My end, Lord, make me know my days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. And what follows, Psalter 107, the first three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.